Are you done with being that pregnant or postpartum mom in the gym who is always stuck on the sidelines feeling horrible, saying, "How come no one ever told me this?" Are you ready to finally say no to a mom life filled with excess weight, injury, overwhelm, and fatigue? Then help is here. Welcome to the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast, where we dive deep into the information you need to be the strongest woman in and out of the gym, even if you are a mom. If you are done going through your pregnancy or postpartum fitness journey clueless and unprepared, if you are ready to commit and say yes to being that badass fit mom who is shredded and stronger than before the baby, well, listen up. Because this is where we talk about all of the things your doctor or trainer never told you about, so that you can achieve the body you want and take your athletic strength and performance to the next level. Get ready, because here's your host, Daisy Bravo.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. Today was recorded live in my Facebook group, the Strong Moms Pregnancy and Postpartum Fitness Education and Support Hub. Because this training received such an amazing response from my group members, and because it is a topic that a lot of moms are interested in, I wanted to share it with you here on the podcast. But first, a heads up that this was a live training. So from time to time, you will hear me interacting with the people who are watching the training. Sometimes I ask questions, and sometimes I give shout outs to audience members. So if you are interested in joining my Facebook group, connecting with other strong moms, getting access to more live videos, recipes, workouts, health and fitness tips and tricks, I encourage you to head on over to the show notes and click the link to join my Facebook group, the Strong Moms Pregnancy and Postpartum Fitness Education and Support Hub. And so you don't feel left out, I have included any links, products, or references made on today's episode and place them on our show notes, also on the Strong Moms Fitness website, and in the description of the replay video in our Facebook group. So I look forward to seeing you in our Facebook group and hope you enjoy this episode of the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. Let's jump in into the topic today, which is protein powders in pregnancy and breastfeeding. And a question I get is, and it's a huge blanket statement, and of course, the answer is not necessarily very black and white, but are protein powders safe if you are pregnant or breastfeeding? And the answer, the best answer I have for you, and that's usually the answer I have for a lot of pregnant and postpartum questions, is like sometimes, maybe, perhaps. It's again, it's not really that black and white. There's a kind of gray area here. So I wanted to chat about the good, the bad, you know, what you should know, what you should look for. And so hopefully I kind of get to the bottom of what you'd like to learn about protein powders. And I do want to say that, of course, again, a lot of you guys are either watching the replay. I will be posting this on the podcast. If you have any questions, find me on Facebook, send me a DM, Daisy Bravo on Facebook. You can join my pregnancy and my Strong Moms Pregnancy and Postpartum Fitness Education and Support Hub for kids that can't read good is my Facebook group. Facebook group, this is where I'm doing a lot of my lives that end up being podcasts. So you need to be a part of it because a lot of cool stuff happens here. If you're not already, for those of you that are checking me out in the group, this doesn't make sense to you. So anyways, let's get rolling here. So let's talk about the good first, the benefits of potential benefits of protein powder. And the main purpose and benefit of a protein powder during pregnancy is that a protein powder can fill in any nutritional gaps. And that's what that's where your mind should be when you are picking up, you know, like buying looking online or consuming a protein powder. It is not for like muscle gains or any of that sort of stuff. It's really to fill in that nutritional gap that you're missing from nutrition, you know, is number one. And of course, I am a proponent of looking for real food sources first. That is going to be the best way to go. That's going to be the safest way to go. And your body's going to know exactly what to do with it, because it also comes in a whole package. It comes with vitamins, minerals, you know, things like that. So that is why food sources, bar none, number one. But again, the protein powders are here just to pick up the slack in your diet, and super important, you know, if you are the type of person who is undergoing an insane amount of nausea with your pregnancy, this might, you know, help you get a little bit of nutrition that you're missing in your diet. So that's why that, you know, that is one awesome benefit of that is, you know, that if you're nauseous, you can't get any food down, at least, you know, you're meeting some protein needs for yourself and your baby, because you're getting that little extra shake. And of course, for those busy moms that are breastfeeding, you know, life might be crazy. You might be running all over the place with a million things to do. If you can't get a great meal in, if you don't think you're meeting your protein needs, then hey, let's start considering a protein powder into your diet. And then of course, another is depending on, you know, your nutritional preferences. So if you are a vegan vegetarian, you may find that you might need to get a little bit of extra protein. So let's just jump in, use some protein powders. There's also some other caveats with that, but we're going to get into that in a little bit, because I want to talk next about the bad. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, I hate telling people no, or you should avoid, because it's not, again, it's not that black and white. Now, the bad things about protein powders, and my list for the bad is going to outweigh the good. But again, I'm going to tell you what to look for when looking for protein powders, so that maybe you don't really need to worry about the bad so much. So, you know, they're not FDA approved. Let's start with that. So it is hard to say if what is on the label is actually what you're getting. Super important. So if it says you're getting 30 grams of protein in one scoop, that might not be the case. So if you're basing your whole nutrition and your, if you're someone that looks into your macros and your nutrition, you may find that you're relying on this source to get enough protein. You might just not be getting it. And there was so an interesting, there's something called the Clean Label Project, and it's like a nonprofit group. And I was reading a study that they had analyzed more than 130 protein powders and found that many of them contained heavy metals. So things like lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and another thing is BPA. So BPA is that nasty plastic that you hear about in plastic bottles, like leaching into your water or whatever you're eating or drinking, and then you're consuming like plastic in your diet. A lot of links to being carcinogenic, hormone disruptors. So of course, I don't want plastic in my diet. And then of course, other things like pesticides and just like other general contaminants, you know, from poor sourcing, essentially. So that kind of scares me a little bit. I don't know about you. So another thing is protein shakes can also, like some of them are just taste wretched. And those are usually the ones that are better for you, unfortunately. But to offset that wretched flavor, a lot of sugars are added to these protein shakes. And so we're going to talk a little bit about sugar like later as I go through, but we really want to limit our sugars for various reasons, which we're going through. But those are what kind of the good one, the one that tastes good. It's usually because there's just a heck of a lot of sugar in there. And that is not great for your baby, whether you are pregnant or breastfeeding. Second is because protein powders are associated with fitness, a lot of them do have some like stimulants or caffeine in it. So if you are, you know, if you are already someone that, you know, needs a morning coffee and you have included that in your pregnancy and postpartum nutrition as like, hey, I'm going to have X amount of caffeine a day and that's it. Well, you may not be realizing it, but your protein powder might have some caffeine in it. And then you're just like going a little bit extreme on your caffeine because you really haven't accounted for it. So some people are super sensitive to caffeine also. So that's something that, you know, can be harmful to you or your baby if you're not really paying attention. Taking a quick drink here while you suck that in. And I also wanted to, my next point about some of the negatives in protein powder is some are, and you may not like, this might sound good to you, but it's not that great. And I'll explain why. Is some are actually packed with added vitamins and minerals. And sure, that sounds great to the general individual. However, if you are someone who is on a prenatal vitamin anyways, and you're already on this set supplement plan that you and your doctor have kind of gone over and making sure that you're meeting your daily allotment, what might happen is you now all of a sudden you might be getting more, you know, vitamins and supplements that they need. And just like anything, there, you know, there's a level, there's a happy place. There's a nice level of moderation, but as with everything, more does not necessarily mean better or healthier. It can actually cause more harm than good here. So, you really want to keep an eye on what's on those labels. And we're going to talk a little bit about that more. So there are some negatives here that you need to consider when, trying to, again, fill in that protein nutritional gap need while you're pregnant or breastfeeding. Because of course, they are getting, they're getting all of it too. So it's not just for you, it's for them too. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about filling in that nutritional gap. And I want you to post, you know, if you're on Facebook, if you're watching the replay with me, I want you to post and let me know if you have any sort of general idea, you know, what vitamins and nutrients that you need when you're pregnant or breastfeeding. And do you really know how much that you're actually getting in your diet? If you're getting enough, if you're not getting enough, I'd like kind of your feedback. Like, do you know? Are you clueless? Are you the type of person that tracks your macros and you're on top of it? I know I've got a lot of moms that do that because they had just done it before with their workouts because they're working on like bulking or shredding, that sort of stuff. So that's super, like, I want to know who's guilty. Like what's going on here? I want to see where you guys are starting at. So let's talk now about more of the RDA, which is the recommended daily allotments, which of course our governing bodies have sort of determined that these are ideal. And I know these are flawed, but they are more kind of guidelines and general standards. So we're going to keep it at that. We're not going to open that can of worms or rabbit hole. But to keep track of that sort of stuff, I love apps for this because it's so easy because a phone goes everywhere with you and it's easier to track things down as opposed to journaling and doing math. And a lot of this will take out some of the weighing, things like that. So the two that I like are MyFitnessPal and Chronometer. Chrono, C-H-R-O-N-O meter, one word. Get that in your app store, Google store, whatever you use. And now, because you might not know you know, your daily allotments or what you need to achieve or your goals or what you need to hit when it comes to your nutrition for a healthy pregnancy or lactation. Dr. Google can tell you all of these things and, you know, what nutrients to look for. There's a lot of reputable, you know, websites where you can download the nutritional needs of a pregnant and lactating woman. But these apps can actually give you an idea if you are hitting these goals, missing these, or even exceeding the recommended daily allotments. And like I said before, sometimes exceeding is just as unhealthy as not getting enough. So keep that in mind. So when it comes to filling in the gap with something like a protein powder, it's important to know, like, how much protein do you actually really need? And keeping that in mind. And then another thing to keep in mind is, because it's so important in pregnancy and breastfeeding, is you want to know how much sugar you're getting in your diet. And I don't mean like complex carbohydrates. And I don't even really mean fruit so much. Well, there's some discrepancy in that, but I really just mean like frappuccino, the sugar in your frappuccino, your sugar substitutes that you're putting in there, like all of this, like refined sugar, candy bars, you know, all that, like the crap. That's really where I'm kind of going with this. And we can go on days and days about fruit, not going on that topic. Of course, a couple servings of fruit a day. I'm cool with that. That's great. There's a lot of vitamins in there. You can pair it up with other things like some fats and some protein to, you know, balance the release of the sugar. I don't even want to like open all of these can of worms, but the point here is, do you know your numbers? Do you know where you need to strive for? And I don't expect you to. And I know you've got other stuff on your mind, and that's probably why you're here with me today. So let's just talk a little bit about, again, the general guidelines. And so in pregnancy, and I've read a couple of studies and websites and various sources, and there is a little bit of discrepancy here, but on average, when it comes to just your crappy sugars, your white refined sugars, and those are hidden in a lot of stuff, guys, is that when you're pregnant and postpartum, you don't really want to go above 30 grams. Like 30 grams is considered, you know, on the high side. And like when I was reading, one of the articles I was reading is equivocated. What's the word I'm looking for? Says that sugar, like 30 grams of sugar is equivalent to 7 sugar cubes. So kind of get that visual in your mind of sugar cubes. And then another visual from the same article was that one can of cola can actually have, who says cola anymore? Coke, whatever, Pepsi, can have up to 9 sugar cubes in like one can. So if you are like a Coke drinker or someone that like loves your fraps and your Starbucks and all that sort of stuff, the cool thing about Starbucks is they tell you kind of the estimated grams of sugar there. So now that can be helpful, but just to let you know, a can of Coke is actually more than you should be getting a day. So you really need to be tight on your sugars. Of course, eating too much sugar when you're pregnant can increase your risks of things like gestational diabetes, preeclampsia, and also can affect the weight, like the lifelong weight of your baby. A lot of studies have come to the conclusion for that. So let's get back to protein, of course. Now, when it comes to protein, your protein needs do change as you and your baby grows and as you go through your trimesters. And it's important to note kind of the various grams that you are trying to achieve in this. So again, these are all kind of averages and just accumulation of different studies and papers that I've read. But it seems like on average in your first trimester, you should be trying to consume 0.36 grams of protein per pound of body weight that you have. That's in your first trimester. So you may need to do the math on that and see where you're at. And then if you grab one of those apps, it might be a little bit easier to track and trace what you're doing. Now for the second, third trimester, the ranges did vary quite a bit from the studies that I had read, but looking at the range or the average kind of lies within 0.54 grams per pound of body weight to anywhere of like 0.68 grams per pound of body weight. I like to be kind of in the middle there, as with everything. So do those calculations, write those down, grab one of those apps there so you can see where you fall in that. Now let's looking at breastfeeding. Again, it's that 30 grams is, again, the super high end. If you can keep that a little bit lower, that's going to have better outcomes for your baby. You know, you're going to have a reduced risk of pregnancy, metabolic or cardiac diseases in your infant. And then also high sugar diet has been associated with yeast and issues with yeast and, you know, thrush in the mouth in infants. That is something more common than you might have heard. So keeping your sugar levels, again, that's the crappy sugar. That's the white refined sugar. And when it comes to the protein recommendations, what I've seen on average is about 71 grams per day per person. And of course, that's going to fluctuate depending on kind of your body mass, your activity level, that sort of stuff. But as you can see, they're pretty reasonable levels of protein. You do not need excessive amounts of protein. So keep that in mind there. There is, like, I'm going to bust this myth. And I think it needs to be said. You know, everyone says it, especially in the health, fitness, gym world, is that you can never get too much protein. And that's just a load of bull there. And, you know, I want to start with, of course, I want to back that up by research. I do, you know, if you want my references, I can certainly provide those to you if you are interested. Anything I've said today, I will provide you with any references. But research does show that too much protein during pregnancy can actually slow down your baby's growth and raise your own risk of gestational diabetes. And that is kind of one of the most compelling reasons as to why the keto diet is off limits, or the paleo diet is off limits during pregnancy. It's really going to have an effect on your baby more than you realize. Okay, so let's get into the good stuff. And I know everyone loves label reading, but if you have some protein powder at home, especially if you're watching the replay, is pause me and go and grab your protein powder. And I want to talk about what to consider when looking for a protein powder so that you can, whether you're shopping online or in a store, you can kind of go through this panel and see, you know, what is actually really in here. And so let's talk about the basics. So keep it simple. That's like my number one rule with protein. The goal, again, and I can't stress this enough, is the goal of protein powders is to fill that nutritional protein gap if you have one. If you don't have one, you really should not be jumping into the protein powder world. Stick with your diet. So this includes your collagen, ladies. So I know there's a lot of collagen like fanatics out there, and it seems to be the new buzz supplement. That is protein. Collagen is pure protein. So you want to include that into your daily numbers to make sure that you're not overdoing it. So again, look for a protein powder without those bells and whistles in it. So we're looking for just pure protein. And what do I mean by that? And I mean, avoid proteins without extra herbs, a lot of times some of the greens, some things that are there for energy or weight loss or performance enhancers, avoid these things that say caffeine. Tarugine is another one, L-carnitine, excessive amounts of B vitamins, green tea and green tea coffee extract, and guarana is one of them. I know guano is that poop. Hopefully your protein powder doesn't have that in there. But all of these weird stuff, proprietary blends, like if you see something that says proprietary in there, like proprietary greens or stuff like that, avoid those. Because a lot of times there's some funky herbs in there too that are really not that healthy in pregnancy. But also what you want to look for is to take some time. You might have to visit that, like the Clean Label Project, like I talked to, like I mentioned before, is do some of your research to see if the products that you are using have actually been third-party tested. So a lot of these products are tested like in-house by the people that make them. So I'm not too convinced that data is, is reliable. So check for that. The companies that do third-party testing are very transparent about that. They do love to tout that they have third-party tested. So a lot of times you will see a label on your product that does say third-party testing. They made an investment in that. So a lot of times they do want to share that information. Of course, we did talk about the sugar content in your supplements and, in your protein powders. I usually like to look for nothing more than 3 to 5 grams. Anything more than that is really excessive. And then prioritizing better quality products. So that is our products that are non-GMO, if they're organic. And that can help to ensure that your products potentially have a greater chance of being free of unnecessary and potentially harmful additives. And this is my personal take, and everyone or whomever you talk to might have a different opinion. I personally prefer plant-based proteins because there is some data that says that a lot of the whey products out there, and specifically like the cheaper whey products, some of those cheap ones that you might see at GNC or, other like geared towards the big fellas, is a lot of those are cheaper quality proteins. So the way that they're produced is not as ideal. And a lot of them, a lot of the whey has been linked to more dairy like sensitivities, especially when it comes to the digestion and gut and microbiome. So if you are breastfeeding specifically, and your baby is taking this in also, so infants are a little bit more, you really want to reduce any allergens and things that are essentially your baby is getting. And dairy is one of the big ones, but cheap, the cheap isolates really upsets your infants. And a lot of it can, make babies colicky, acid reflux. You want to avoid that. Allergens are definitely something that you want to stay away from. So avoid that cheap way. There are some better quality ones out there, but again, please do your research with that. And of course, there's an agricultural footprint with whey. Dairy products do contain hormones and antibiotics potentially, so we want to stick away with that. And then of course, a lot of the isolates and things like that can cause some kidney and liver distress. So that's not good anywhere. And then also another thing to watch out, the last thing I'm going to mention is watching out for the buzzwords that you see on your labels. So things like natural flavors. And look carefully in your ingredient list. And natural flavors are just like a catch-all term that like dozens of things can fall under this whole realm of natural flavors. So there's like, and it can be chemicals and they can still be referred to as natural. So I was reading somewhere that shockingly synthetic chemicals, kind of like solvents, propylene glycol, or even the preservative BHA are still able to be classified as natural, which is pretty darn scary to me. And I think it has something to do with the fact that the FDA has not fully defined what the term natural means. So a lot of these chemicals can still be fall under that sort of title of natural. So that word natural is doesn't necessarily mean that it came from a beautiful field somewhere, you know, in the Alps or something romantic like that. It still can be something pretty synthetic or have like some chemical in it. Another thing I read too is that a lot of times, so there's this like beaver anal secretions is another thing that can be considered, and there's a name for it and I can't remember what it is, but it can also be considered natural. So reasons to be afraid of the term natural on your labeling, so stick away with that. So hopefully I've kind of gone through this and you maybe have a little bit more clarity now of protein powders. And I know a lot of you are watching the replay. I look forward to your comments on this, but if you have any questions about this, you know, feel free to in the comment section, even if you're watching the replay, I'm going to come back and answer these questions. So post into the comments there and let me know what questions that maybe I didn't get to when it comes to protein powders. If you want something, maybe you have a question that's a little bit more specific to you, I'll do my best based upon the information I have to answer that question. And before I go, I know you've taken time out of your day to hang out with me. I want to thank you. I do have a cool like protein smoothie book for mamas where I go through different recipes. So if you are looking for some fun recipes, everything's on my website, strongmomsfitness.com. I think there's like a shop tab up at the top. And over there, I have my smoothie book. And then also my Flat Abs After Baby book does have like an upgrade where you can get a smoothie book and I think a meal planning book as a bump. And they're actually like super cheap. So I'm pretty much giving them away with the program Flat Abs After Baby. So if you are interested in that and you want a good deal on that, if you're like, you want some cool recipes, to get you outside the box with your smoothie recipes and your protein powder, like add-ons there, definitely check that out on my website, strongmomsfitness.com. And if you need some like clean product recommendations, I don't have, like I have a few that I enjoy and I like, and I've done some research on. So if you are interested, you know, certainly send me a message. Again, just keep it simple. There are some there, like if you, you know, if you don't want a plant-based one, there are some that are just like extracted from egg whites. So a lot cleaner than some of these cheaper whey products. They're a little bit easier to digest. So I do like that. Of course, some of these, the plant-based ones are going to have things that are like pea powder based. So they're not as much of an allergen. They're going to have, you may find some that have low sugar. And then also some of them are actually also going to, contain things like choline, things that are not included in a lot of, prenatal vitamins and stuff like that. Also a good, you know, another thing is if you're trying to stay in the more natural realm, the collagens are another good option for, you know, a way to get in your protein levels without using like highly processed isolates. And, you know, again, you do have to look at the labels. Not all collagen products are created equal, but that is a source of protein. So that might be another option for you. So thanks so much for joining me, whether you are checking out the replay in the, you know, on Facebook, or whether you're joining me on the podcast. I want to thank you for taking time. I am going to try to do this a little bit more regularly for you guys in the Facebook group to give you a chance to participate so that this is more of a two-sided conversation. But I hope you got some value from today and you've learned a lot. So I want to thank you. And I hope to see you guys soon on another live or podcast, Strong Moms Fitness. Thanks you. So I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, night, wherever it is for you. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for tuning in. And we look forward to seeing you next time on the Strong Moms Fitness Podcast. Now remember, go subscribe so that you are the first to know as soon as new episodes drop. Also, be sure you don't miss out on your chance to win a free program of your choice from Strong Moms Fitness. All you have to do is leave a 5-star review. Screenshot it before you submit and send it to daisy@strongmomsfitness.com. Your review helps other people find our show. And as a thank you, once a month, we choose the review that makes us all warm and tingly inside and award that lucky lady a free program of their choice. So do it now. It could be you. See you next time, you badass mom, you.